Good evening. How are you guys doing? All right. Praise God. It's a humbling thing, man. I'm sure you guys can understand to just get to share and teach the Word of God. I'm scared. But it's such a holy moment, you know. I wanted to read something to you guys that I found during my studies that just encouraged me about His Word. I was reading some of Charles Spurgeon's teachings. And he wrote this, or I should say he taught this. He says, "I find God speaking." And he's referring to the Bible. He's saying, "It is God's voice, not man's. The words are God's words. The words are eternal. The invisible, the Almighty, the Jehovah of this earth. The Bible is God's Bible. When I see it, I seem to hear a voice springing up from it saying, 'I am the book of God. Man, read me. I am God's writing. Open my leaf, for I was penned by Him, visible and manifest everywhere. I have written to Him the great things of my law.'" This is the Word of God, man. And this is what we've gathered tonight to study. And we're just going to go over Colossians chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to that. Let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank You so much, Lord, for Your goodness and for Your kindness towards us. Lord, You give us so much that we don't deserve. Lord, we are so, so unworthy of You, Lord. Father, we thank You for Your grace, for Your mercy. And we thank You that we live in a country, Lord, that we can just freely and publicly and with liberty open Your Word and study it. Father, these are Your words to us, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that You would illuminate Your text to us tonight. Lord, that we would be encouraged, that You would speak to us, Lord. With humility, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. I've titled this, "The Lifestyle of a Christian." The lifestyle of a Christian. And just as Christians, sometimes I ask myself, how am I supposed to act? What kind of person am I supposed to be? Can I be funny, or at least try to be funny? Can I go hang out with friends and do certain things? Or is anything that's outside of the church just completely wrong and bad and evil? What kind of person should I be? Can I make fun of other people? Because I'll be honest with you, I like to. That's horrible, man. I'm sorry. And you guys can make fun of me all you want. I'll take it, all right? I can give and I can take. I'm good. But sometimes we joke around with each other. And sometimes I have the foot and mouth thing going. I say things and I got to take off my shoe. My family makes fun of my shoe. They say it's I have a big foot. It's not that big. But I just need to stick it in my mouth sometimes. But how are we supposed to act, man? In the letter to the Colossians, Paul is writing to the saints and faithful brethren, as it says in chapter 1, of Christ who are in Colossae. So this is written to Christians. This is to you and I, to those of us who have come and said, "Lord Jesus, I want You in my life. Be my Lord." This is for you. This is completely for you. The whole focus of Colossians, just so we can kind of have an understanding, is simply Christ. Man, Christ is the center of everything. He is our all-sufficient Savior. Anything that you need, everything that you and I need, is in Christ. We have freedom. We have liberty. We are forgiven of our sins. Our thought, our mind should be just set totally on Christ. And that's what we're going to study here. What should the lifestyle of a Christian be? We're going to be looking at three things, or at least this is what I've seen in the text. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 17. And I see, first of all, him saying that we're supposed to seek the things that are above. Secondly, I see him saying that we're supposed to take off the old self, the old nature of who we are. And third, we're supposed to put on the character of Christ. After all, we're Christians. Christianity is not easy, is it? We have so many blessings in Christianity. Man, we're forgiven of sins. We have hope. But there's a process called sanctification, and that's a lifelong thing. And we're all going through it, man. I mean, even Terry, yes, I said it, even Pastor Terry is being sanctified. He is not perfect. None of us are. So let's go ahead and start reading here. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory." Heaven is an awesome thing to think about, and I think that's what he starts off with here, man. You know what? Think about heaven. A little girl was walking with her daddy under the starlit sky, and after several moments of silence, she remarked, "Father, I've been thinking, if the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, just imagine what the right side will be like." And it's an awesome thing. First of all, it says that we're supposed to seek those things which are above, where Christ is. And you know what that does for me anyway? It encourages me so much, man. When you go through difficult times, when you're going through trials, and you're just tired of this lifetime, and you just think you kind of want to give up, remember heaven, man. We have a hope. It doesn't just end when you die. It comes to greater things. In Revelation, I'm just going to read a few scriptures to you. It says, "For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." It says in Revelation 21, "God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Doesn't that encourage you guys? I'm 30. My back hurts already. Can you believe that? My back hurts. My legs hurt. My shoulders hurt when I try and go play golf. Dude, and I'm like thinking, I'm only 30. Come on. You know, I can't imagine when I get a little bit older. Oh, it stinks. My wife, Sarah, not too long ago, was diagnosed with cancer. Scared me. It was just scary for us. We went through like 3 months of just, what's going to happen? There is a moment when, there was, I should say, probably a span of a week when we didn't know if her cancer had spread. And basically the doctor said, if the cancer has spread, there's nothing we can do. And while the probabilities weren't great, the doctor didn't make me feel too good about it. You know, he said, there's always a possibility. And he has to protect himself. I just was praying that God would come back. Lord, take us now. You know, I don't want to go through this right now. This is too hard. But scriptures like this would encourage me. They would just lift me up. In 2 Corinthians 5:1, it says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." Man, there's a greater and awesome thing that we have to look forward to. So it's a place where Christ is. That's the awesome thing, man. How many of you guys have seen Christ face to face? Maybe not physically, right? But there will come a day. There will come a day. Look at verse 2. It says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." That is where our focus is supposed to be, man. Don't focus on things below, but focus on things above. That is to say, take aim at. Look at it and aim for it. Look at it and strive for it. Work for it. Have that mentality. In Romans, it says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In 1 John he wrote, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." So if you have your mind focused on heaven, on Christ, that's what you're going to be living for. There is a pastor up in Albuquerque who was, he was really awesome. And whenever he would counsel people that had just given their life to Christ, he would explain everything to them. And one thing that he would tell them was, look, now that you've given your life to Christ, you've got to start living for that. And he would say, if you hang out with a bunch of college football players, what are you going to be talking about most of the time? And people would be like, I don't know. And he would say, well, football. If you hang around with a bunch of people that are golfers, what are they going to be talking about? Well, Tiger Woods and golf. In the same way, he said, you have to hang out with people that are Christians. You have to read his word so that your mind can just be constantly set on doing those things. So we're supposed to focus on where Christ is. Set your mind in heaven, not on things of the earth. And also the fact that we're going to be in a place in glory. Look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Wouldn't it be awesome to be able to say like Paul, when he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. In Isaiah, it says about Jesus, he will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away every tear from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. I'll never forget, I had the opportunity to teach or preach at my grandfather's funeral. And the last time that I saw him, that I spoke to him, was in the hospital. And he was always with his Bible, when the few times that I visited him at home. And just kind of, I didn't know what to say, you know. It was kind of a, so I said, you know, where's your Bible, man? How come you're not reading your Bible? And the instant I stopped saying that, he quoted this verse to me, what Jesus said. And he said to me, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That was the hope that my grandfather had. And it wasn't long after that he passed away. But what an awesome thing. Doesn't that encourage you guys? It's encouraging, man. It is just absolutely so encouraging. That's why Paul writes, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for just a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, the first thing that Paul says in actually the lifestyle as a Christian is, you know what, seek the things that are above, man. Let it encourage you. Let it just have that perspective and know that you're living for something that's eternal. The next thing I think he says here is just basically to take off the old self. We're supposed to take off the old self. Look with me at verse 5. It says, therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Taking off the old self is easier said than done, isn't it? So many things that we do that just remind us that we're human. Positionally, we're holy and we're made perfect in Christ. Paul has already kind of gone over that. But this lifelong process is something different. We're going to be perfect the day that we die, or the day that Christ comes for us. But until that day, man, you and I aren't perfect. First of all, he says, we're supposed to take off our old self. Man, I have kids. I have two. And I'll tell you what, I am seeing the sin nature in a human being. My Luke and my Josiah. Luke is so mean to Josiah. He's poking him in the eye lately. That's the new thing. Just goes up to him and pokes him in the eye. Luke, why did you do that? Because. I said, that's being mean. Do you want to be mean? Yeah. He broke my heart last night. Because I said, Luke, he was being really bad. And we chastised him. And then I had a good long talk with him. And at the end I said, look, when you do bad, you're hurting God's heart. And I asked him, do you want to hurt God's heart? And you know what he said? Yes. I almost pulled my hair out. And I said, Luke, no, you don't. Come on, what did you not understand? And it's an ongoing thing. I can't understand it. But I see it. I don't have to teach him how to be a bad kid. He already knows. And now Josiah, guess what? He's hitting back, man. He just started to walk, and man, it won't be long before we're going to have to be separating those two. The sin nature is an awesome thing. A Sunday school teacher asked her class, can anyone tell me what a conscience is? And a little boy replied, it's a thing that makes me tell my mom my sins before my sister does. It's just a natural thing, man. This is who you are. This is who I am, okay? First of all, what are we supposed to do with it? In verse 5, it says, put to death your members which are on earth. Literally, mortify. Kill it. Get rid of it. Anything you can do to do away with it, do it. Be extreme and get rid of that. And you know what it is in your heart. It says in Hebrews 12:1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Man, all sin does is hinder you in your walk with Christ. And when you think and you remember eternity, and you've seen Christ face to face, you look back at your sins and realize, what a waste of time. What foolishness of me to live in that. Now, he goes over a couple of lists here. Look at me at verse 5. Put to death your members which are on earth. And he starts with a list. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. All of those sins are referring to sexual sins. It's anything that is outside of a marriage between a man and a woman is sin in God's eyes. It's not between a man and a man, a woman and a woman. It is between a man and a woman in the context of marriage. We've heard Terry say it a lot. I remember, those are his exact words, if I remember correctly. Anything outside of that is sin. It's wrong. And for those, especially in the youth, and not necessarily just for the young guys, but for all of us, it's such a norm now to be open with sinning sexually. It's just something that's gross, and our country is getting bad. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, and evil desire and covetousness. Fornication is, again, basically anything that is outside the context of marriage. Uncleanness and passion and evil desire is seeking those things sexually that are just wrong. Things that are horrible, things that are bad, things that do not glorify God. He has another list in verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. All of these things are a list that pretty much come out of you that are just mean and selfish, to put it simply. Anger is just somebody who's just always mad. Maybe some of you. I don't know any of you who are always mad. I'm just kidding. But anger is just something that you're just always mad. You have a short fuse, man. And women don't look at your husbands now. Or vice versa. Because it really kind of kicks in at home, doesn't it? I know my wife is looking at me right now. Wrath. That is just an outburst of anger. That is something where you just lose it. You flip out. That's wrath. Let's see here. Next on that is blasphemy. Blasphemy there is referring to really talking bad about somebody else. Ruining somebody else's reputation. It is hoping the worst on somebody else. I hope you have a horrible day. But sometimes, that's mean to say, but sometimes, think about it. Sometimes that's how we feel about other people when they offend us. Or when they do things against us that just weren't nice or whatever. You fill in the blank. Filthy language out of your mouth. That is very straightforward. Cussing, saying bad words, talking in a manner that just isn't kind and worthy of God. And it says in verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. I think there's a statistic that says that in an average, in about a 10-minute span, everybody lies at least twice in a conversation. That's pretty extreme. But now just think about all the little white lies that you and I do. Maybe something that you didn't tell, you told them, but not the whole truth. You told them the truth, but not the whole truth. Or, I'm always tempted at work, man, I'll tell you. And that's just, but I always try and I just tell them. But sometimes they'll order something for us, and I'll just forget. And they'll call and say, I'm going to see if my order is ready. And it's so easy for me to say, well, the material didn't come in on time. Or, you know what, the machine broke down, and you should see we're out here. My hands are all dirty. We're working on it right now. But very soon as I get that machine fixed, I'm gonna do it. It's so easy to do that. And we do all those little things, don't we? They're so easy to do. And even to one another. Hey, how are you doing, Daniel? And maybe inside me, I'm thinking, man, I don't like you. And on the outside, I'm saying, good, brother, how are you doing, man? Oh, it's good to see you, bro. Nice haircut, you know? Man, that's just lying. You know, all those little things that you lie to one another. Or maybe not giving somebody an opportunity to do something for Christ. You know, maybe in the ministry. There's just so much room for that. But it says simply, just don't do it. The last thing I think he talks about is pretty much pride in yourself. Look at verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. There is neither Mexican nor white. There is neither African American nor Mexican nor white. There is not even either Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Calvary Chapelite. They haven't come up with a term for us, but There needs to be something like that. Nobody's better than anybody else. Before Christ, man, we're all on the same level. But how many times, let me ask you, do you look down on somebody else? Oh, that poor person. You know, they go to the Lutheran church. Yeah. Maybe their eyes will be open and they'll come to our church. Or maybe you name another church not far from us. I don't want to name any, you know, but maybe you do. I mean, right here, I have before in the past, I'll admit it. Hey, that other church, I don't like the way their service is, you know. And the people that go there, they just got to be weird because, you know, hey, it's not looking down on anybody, man. Everybody before Christ, same level. It's all the same level. Now, any of these things that are in you, sexual sin, anger, pride, any of those things on this list, and by the way, these aren't complete lists. There are other lists. You can look at them in Galatians 5. There are other lists of sins, but the point is this. If you have any of that, you're supposed to get rid of it. The text is kind of, the word is kind of used in a way of, look, take off your old clothes. It doesn't fit you anymore. It's not right for you. You know what? You became the child of God. There's new clothes for you. I would imagine that when Jesus resurrected Lazarus and he was wrapped up in all that stuff, I don't think he kept wearing that stuff for the rest of his life, you know? Because even they were saying, Lord, we don't want to roll away the stone because it stinketh, remember? But imagine him living the rest of his life in all that stuff and stinking. That would be horrible. And that's the way it is for you and I as a Christian. We have all these things that were in our past, the way the world lives, regular standard. It's easy to live that way. It's okay. But no longer if you are a son or a daughter of Christ, of God. That's it. You're supposed to take off that old garment and put on the new garment. Okay? That is what he's going to be talking about really next. Read with me. Let's see here. Here we go. Verse 10. Look at verse 10 again with me. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the Lord, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So, as you take off the old self, man, we're supposed to put off all these Christian virtues that we just have right here in this list. First of all, in verse 12, he says, as the elect of God, holy. Man, if you have given your life to God, you are His chosen child. He has opened your eyes and He has privileged you. You and I are privileged to be called the sons and daughters of God. We're supposed to live in a way that is holy, that is to say, set apart. This earth is not where we are from. This is not where we really live. This is not our home. Our home is like in heaven. And so the way you look at it is, you know what? We are set apart for heaven, for God. We are creatures that are going to be perfect. We are creatures that are going to be with God in heaven for eternity. This is just temporary, man. This is just a tent that you set up to go camping for just a little while. It's just for a little bit. Look at verse 12. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long suffering. Tender mercies, man, that is to say, be filled with compassion from your gut. Let your heart break Be sympathetic to everyone. Don't just walk by people and see their pain. If somebody needs help or whatever way, if somebody needs prayer, if you know a family that needs you, things you can do, if it doesn't break your heart, pray that it would. Because you know what? God loves us so much and His heart breaks for us, I believe. When He sees your struggles, when He sees people going through pain and suffering, it breaks His heart. And we're supposed to have that same exact feeling. This is putting on the character of Christ. So we're supposed to have tender mercies. We're supposed to be kind, never mean. Sometimes in the youth group, we fall into the trap of being mean to each other. We cut each other down. They make fun of my hair. I make fun of their bellies, some of them. I won't say who. But that's not kind, man. And sometimes I get convicted by the Holy Spirit. And I think to myself, you know what? I think I saw him kind of get sad after I told him that. And I feel horrible. And it just wasn't nice, you know. That wasn't a nice thing to do. With my wife, sometimes I think at night, man, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for the way I treated my wife today. That's not right. That you treat me so much better, and I shouldn't have treated her like that. Sometimes I can be rude. When somebody like is walking, does it ever happen to you? A moment of awkwardness where both of you are walking to the entrance at the same time. I just pretend I don't see them. And I just keep walking and they have to kind of like move out of the way. And I'll just pretend like I didn't even know. That's horrible. That's bad. Or sometimes it's just a matter of just not being kind and unselfish. This is what you and I are supposed to be. Do you know anybody like that? Doesn't it just... People that I know that are always kind, they just feel so warm to me all the time. Just like, man, you know what? That guy's never cut me down. He's never said anything bad to me. He's never offended me. He's always just been so kind. I like him. You know, it's cool. Tender mercies, kindness, humility. If you know anybody that's not humble, isn't it such a turnoff? I hate it. It's so annoying to me. God hates pride. Pride comes before the fall. Pride is the opposite of what God wants you to be. Pride is what I think my children have too much of. They don't want to be like God and be humble, and I need to teach them somehow. Pray for me. But humility. Hey, you know what? I always tell people, I'm just a dork. I kid you not, that's what I am, and I'm okay with that. And they'll say, yeah, you do look kind of dorky. Yeah, you're right. I don't mind that. That's okay. You know what? There's something that needs to be done, and I think you could do a good job at it, bro. You go for it. You do it. That's humility. I've been falling into the trap of saying, man, I could do it better than him. I could have done it way better. You know, do you guys ever think that? Maybe that's what you're thinking right now about me teaching. But it's just a matter of being humble, man. You just got to be humble. Reading on, he says, meekness and long-suffering. Oh, being meek and being patient. Sometimes there's people that they just don't get it in some things. Maybe you know how to do something better than they do. And yet they want to do it. And in your mind, you might be thinking, come on, move out of the way. You know, sometimes I do that at work. But being meek and being long-suffering, or maybe with your kids. And we have a hard time with our kids being patient. It's hard. It really is. But long-suffering is something that I believe we can't do on our own. It has to come from Christ. It has to. And if we can't be meek, if we can't be long-suffering, we need to pray harder, man. Lord, help me. Help me to be meek. Help me to be long-suffering. Help me to be patient. Because I ain't got it, man. I ain't patient. Going on. verse 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. It can be so difficult to forgive. It is something that we can kind of hide in our hearts. And we kind of just don't forgive, and then we just hide it back there. And it's not like plain and obvious. Like we kind of forget that we haven't forgiven a person. But then when you really think about it, you think, man, you know what? I'm still bitter at that person for something that they did to me or what they're doing to me. Or maybe they just did something that I wanted to do. We're supposed to forgive. Why? Because Jesus forgave us. And when Jesus was teaching how to pray, there's that verse that says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus even said, man, forgive your brothers, and because as you forgive, that's how God is going to forgive you. And if you don't forgive your brothers, and if you don't forgive people here on earth, neither will God forgive you in heaven. If there's any person that you have not forgiven, you need to forgive them. We need to be very forgiving. And I would just challenge you to just kind of search your heart there. When I was studying this, I searched my heart. I needed to forgive some people. And I thought to myself, man, I can't believe I still had a grudge against that. That's bad. There's no love in it. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Man, it's something that we have to do. This is a command. It's not an option. It's not a later. It's not a mañana kind of thing. It's now. Let's do it now. All right. So we're putting off the old. We're putting on all these new things. You know what? As a Christian, when you go and you tell people you're a Christian, this is what people should see in you and I. This is what they should see in us. Another thing that we need to put on is thankfulness. In verse 15 it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were all called in one body, and be thankful. Man, in Psalms it says that we're supposed to praise God and we're supposed to forget not all of His benefits. One time I made a list and I thought, I'm going to make a list of all the things that I'm thankful for. Dude, I couldn't finish. I just kept going on and on. My hand got tired. And I started thinking to myself, man, God is so good to me. Like, I have so much to be thankful for. We need to be so thankful. All right. So we have all those virtues. Another thing that we need to do is to be in His Word. In verse 16 it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In Romans it says, now I myself am confident concerning you that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Man, as we're in the Word, you and I can minister. As we're in the Word, you and I are going to be convicted. As we're in the Word, we're going to get to know God and know what He wants for us and from us. And also it says in verse 16, another thing that we're supposed to do is sing praise to God. I didn't know that this was here in this scripture. I thought it was really interesting. Look at the second half of verse 16. Teaching and admonishing one another, how? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. A lot of the things that I remember are songs that I have in my memory. Songs that we sing. The songs that we even sang today. They talk about the hope that we have in heaven. They talk about all that Christ has done for you and I. They talk about His love. And those are the kind of things that we're supposed to do to teach one another, to admonish one another. I thought it was interesting that a hymn, somebody defined it as something that's supposed to be sung of God, that is supposed to be praised to God and sung to Him. That is a hymn. And that is what we're supposed to do. Psalms, well, we have all the psalms written in there. There's lots of music written to psalms. And if not, wow, even just quoting them. Imagine if we were to all write a song about a psalm that has touched us. That would be awesome. And everybody could have, we could have an open mic night. I bet you would all be so encouraged. Maybe some of us would laugh in a good way, not in a mean way. And it would just be awesome. But we're supposed to teach and admonish one another in singing praise. It says in Psalm, because your life, your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. That's another thing that we're supposed to do. Sing praises to God. The last thing it says in verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Paul said it well. He said, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Man, everything that you do is for God. Everything that you do is for the glory of God. Everything that you do is in God. Isn't that awesome? I can go fishing. And I'll tell you, when I'm catching fish, I'm praising God left and right. When I'm not catching fish, I'm praying and praying that He would give me a fish. And you know what? It always works. There's been times when, one time I prayed that we would catch a bunch of fish. We caught a bunch of fish. I kid you not. And there's been times when I've been out there, and it's kind of funny. I'm like, it's kind of like praying for your team to win a football game or something. But hey, I think, God, okay, you made that fish that's in there. You can tell, you told Jonah, you told the whale to swallow Jonah. I mean, come on. Whatever you do, though, do it for God, man. If you're going to be in the children's ministry, if you're going to be here in the youth or in worship, man, do it good. Try and do it good. And do it for the glory of God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Lord, I'm about to do this right now, and I do it in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Bless it. Bless what I'm about to do. Bless the work of my hands at work. Bless this time with my family. Bless this food that I'm going to prepare for my family. Whatever you do, Lord, I just give it to you. Bless it and make it glorifying to you. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Man, somebody said, Christianity, it doesn't remove you from the world. It doesn't remove the world's problems. It doesn't take you out of all that. But it makes you fit to live in it triumphantly and usefully. And that's exactly what God wants for us. This is a lifestyle that I think is displayed for us here. We're supposed to just simply do away with all those old things. If you know of sin that's in your life, pray and ask God to help you get rid of it. Jesus even said, man, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your arm causes you to sin, cut it off. Don't do that literally, okay? But it's to say, be extreme. It's serious. If there's sin in your life, let's do it, man. Get help. Do whatever you have to do. Secondly, notice what you're supposed to be like as a Christian. It's basically being Christ-like. Lord, you know what? I see this and this and this in me that I'm not like you. Man, help me. I want to be like you. And third of all, just simply praising God with everything, putting on the new character, doing all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for your word. Father, I pray for every heart in here tonight, Lord, that your word would just be an encouragement to us. As Charles Spurgeon wrote, it is your words to us, written by you. And so, Lord, we thank you that we have the hope of heaven, Lord. But we thank you that we're constantly being sanctified by you. Or that we're not perfect, but you still love us and you're never changing. Lord, I pray for every heart in here that you would reveal to us those things that are hindering us in our walks with you. And help us to get rid of them. Holy Spirit, convict us. and Father, Lord Jesus, fill us with You, with Your Holy Spirit, that we would display the fruit of the Spirit, that we would be loving to one another and to everyone, or that we would be kind, that we would be meek, that we would be humble. And Lord, may we always have a joyful song in our hearts, that we would always sing to You and for You, because You're so good to us, Lord. Lord, You know every situation in here, and I just pray that You would help us and encourage us. We love You, God, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.